Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. If you are looking for a musical to see, today's episode is for you. If you are in New York City between October 11th and November 5th, you'll want to check out the off-Broadway production of Anne Frank, a musical, at the Actors Temple Theater. Today is with great pleasure that I welcome the producer and director and a wonderful human being to the show. Let's welcome David Serrero to the program. David, hello again.
Hello, my dear Jean-Paul. You know, I don't know how I'm going to live, how long I'm going to live, but I would love you to write my eulogy, you know, because that was such a beautiful and a kind introduction. I want to say, you know, that I did not sponsor this interview because these words that came out of your mouth, you know, are really, really lovely. So you forgot to say gorgeous also, you know. But that's okay.
I don't want your ego to get too big. You know, I got to hold it back a little bit.
You're the best, my dear friend. It's so good to see you. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your wonderful show. You know how much I appreciate you. I love you and how much I'm a huge fan of your radio and how much we need your radio. It's the only radio about musical theater. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It really means the world. Thank you.
Now my ego is getting too big. My head is swelling outside of the Zoom box. So for those of you who don't know or haven't listened to your past interviews on here, I always ask for a 30-second bio. So David, who are you in 30 seconds?
30 seconds. Well, I was born on a Wednesday, April 22nd, 1991. It was 6:20 p.m. And from what I recall, I came out of my mom and you know, I saw the world. And right away, I started to speak several languages. And I got my PhD the next day. But you know, I'm an opera singer. I'm an actor, director, producer. And I do movies. I direct movies. I produce movies. I love the human adventure of any experiences. So I diversified a little bit myself, but really my biggest pride and joy is my career on stage and now on the screen with the movies I'm doing, which is a true joy to create these plays, opera, musicals, but always with a very special touch, with a special identity and color, and that's really what makes me work every day. And people like yourself who inspire me to be better, because when I have an opportunity to be on your show, I know I have to give my best after to deserve that opportunity. So that's really the person I am, you know.
Awesome. Now, before we get into the newest project, what have you been doing since your last project we talked about, which was the Ten Commandments, which I believe was
May of that was 2022? In 2022.
Yeah.
So what did I do? Oh my God, a lot of stuff. Well, I had my movie that I did on the fashion designer Elita Hari, which went massive. Like I got more than 100 film festival selection. I don't know, maybe 40 awards about it. And that movie led to many more movies. And I have now 12 movies, which I signed in just a year. And I was about to finish, I think, 6 of them. And some I'm still filming, some I'm already doing the editing, because I'm doing myself the editing. Because for me, that's really the essence of the filmmaking, you know, like the making of a movie. Yeah. That's really the editing and telling the story. So a lot of movies, a lot of concerts, a lot of shows. I toured for the first time in October 2022 in Latin America. I played in Buenos Aires. I came back another time. They reinvited me. And very important, in November 2022, I I had the opening night gala of the first national opera company of Morocco, which I created. I founded the first official, you know, like with the government, you know, opera company of Morocco in a country where, you know, you wouldn't think about first, you know. Yeah. It's like about ski, you know. I would think about your Canada before I think of Morocco, you know. So, but yet, you know, opera actually made sense in Morocco because people have this generosity and sharing and vocal culture also, you know, because it was some, you know, so people really, really loved it. It was a massive, massive hit. And we have a big season and played again in Morocco, did a lot of shows, concerts, filmed a new series in Miami, which is coming out soon, and did another movie, which came out in almost 400 movie theaters in France. So it was really, really big. And yeah, tons of other stuff, books, albums, cast album recordings, and I mean, there's not a day that goes by where I'm not working on the project and trying to reschedule this Anne Frank, because you know, originally we were supposed to open the first day that there was the shutdown of the COVID.
Yeah.
So that was in March 2020. So finally, I'm able to bring it, and it couldn't have been a better time. So I'm very grateful.
Well, then let's jump right into to Anne Frank, a musical. tell us a little bit about the history of it. Obviously, it got it stopped because of COVID. So tell us a little bit about the history of the show leading up to.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jean-Paul. Well, you know, it all started with my dear friend Jean-Pierre Adida, who is the composer of that beautiful musical, and he wrote gorgeous musicals in France, Madiba about Nelson Mandela. He wrote one recently that is a big hit in France, Josephine Baker, the musical, the musical. And and then, you know, we started to speak. I saw the first musical, I think, almost 15 years ago in Paris. And he wanted me, even at that time, to do Otto Frank. And we were talking. And, you know, just one day we... In 2019, we're like, hey, you know, how about we bring it to New York? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. And let's do it. And we did it in 2019. It was a massive success, sold out, like really, really unbelievable. And I kind of reshaped the show with the American culture of musical theater, of giving it us the vocal literature that I think it deserved, because it was sang a little bit differently in France. So I wanted to give it really a real American musical theater, vocal slash opera slash oratorio slash all of that. And it was a big, big, big success, despite what people were thinking. Or Anne Frank, a musical, really a musical about Anne Frank? Are you out of your mind? But people didn't understand. And of course, you know that a musical doesn't have to be a happy story, people dancing and doing tap dance, you know. It can also be a musical theater where we tell a story through music and emotions and all of that. And it was a massive success. And then I said, okay, let's bring it for more performances at the, I knew that venue, the Actors Temple off Broadway also. Let's do it there. And then COVID happened, almost died with COVID, you know, And yeah, I pushed it maybe five or six times. And at some point I was like, okay, when, you know, when there won't be masks anymore and all that stuff, then maybe I bring it. And then I was like, okay, 2023 now is a good time. I did the Ten Commandments, the musical, in 2022, which was so difficult. It was too early, to be honest with you, because there were so many regulations. I had to fight with the venue because the venue was like, we need a COVID test 48 hours before the audience comes. I say, you think audience members, it's already a track. Without COVID, it's already hard to bring audiences, make them pay, even for free, as a matter of fact. You know, to bring audiences, you want them to do a test and pay for that test just to go to see a show? So I really suffered from it with the venue, but in a way I'm like, okay, you know, they did what they could, and but it was hard for audiences to come. And I mean, when you see that Broadway, you know, even at $29 ticket, they were having barely half of the audience.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, how am I gonna do? And yeah, so that was, you know, I wish I wouldn't have done 2022. I would have done it later, but it happened that way. But now definitely it happened perfectly for 2023 for Anne Frank. And I have a phenomenal cast. I couldn't have a dream for really a better cast. Of course, 2019, I had a phenomenal cast, but this cast really is really, really pretty and really interesting. And they really have the passion to tell that story. And that's also what brings me the most. And this new generation, you know, actors who are in their early 20s, for some reasons, they connect way more to their grandparents than I connected with my grandparents at my age. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like before, we're like, oh, I have to go see my grandparents. Oh, yeah, I was not like that. But I remember a lot of my friends at that time. But now people are very proud to share the story of their grandparents. Like even you see sometimes on TikTok or whatever, some girls in their early 20s talking to their grandma and say, tell me how you were, how you was at that day. How were you going out? How, you know, there is that telling stories exchange, quote unquote. And I feel this new generations of the 20s, the Gen Z, I think we call it, you know,
whatever, sure.
The millennials, the millennials, they're really, really more into connecting that. Oh, my grandma was in Auschwitz in concentration camps. So, or my grandfather was a US veteran. He fought during World War II. So this story is very important for me, etc. So I see more of that connection today. And between 2019, when I did the first show, and today, it's 4 years, but it's really another world, you know, completely different world. So yeah, I'm really, really, really happy. And I hope you come to see us, Nadia Jean-Paul. You know,
well, I will be in New York, so I will get to see it.
I'm excited. So, I'm so happy.
But I do agree with you on that whole 20-year-olds connecting more with their grandparents. Because to take it off in a slightly different direction, but it is relevant. I used to DJ a lot of weddings back in the early 2000s when the generation of music was so spread out. But 10 years later, the generation, the type of music everybody listened to was almost the same. You know, kids nowadays listen to the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Where back in our day, we didn't listen to the 30s and 40s and 50s. Right? There's such a, our grandparents didn't have necessarily cars and TV and that sort of thing. Where 20-year-olds, their grandparents, they grew up with TV and cars and early computers. So it's so much easier to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Their grandparents are on the iPad, you know, talking to them. So
that's so true. That's so true. I mean, that's one of the things I regret is that, you know, I'm very close mentally, I would say, to my grandfather on my father's side. And I'm like, and I talk to my dad all the time, like, tell me about him. I want to know more of him. And that's why I say, if you have your grandparents, call them every day to tell them you love them and take pictures and video of them, you know. And because, first of all, you make them so happy when you call them. But also the fact that you keep videos of them that you can watch, you know, when sadly they won't be there, but it's true, it's more about connecting to that, and you know, the fact that the quarantine happened, you know, for some reasons I remember people were a little bit abusively mentioning Anne Frank when there was the quarantine. We all feel like Anne Frank. I'm like, dude, you have Wi-Fi. You have Netflix, you know, you have Amazon. If you need food, you can order. Yeah. So the Franks, they had potatoes and they couldn't make a noise. And you know, if they put their head outside, you know, they get shot by the Nazis. So when the younger generation, their early 20s, the millennials, they say, oh, we're fighting anti-Semitism. I'm like, you know, we have to know what we're talking. You know, back in those days, you would walk in the streets, you could get arrested and being shot just for being Jewish. I don't think this is the case today. But what one thing I forgot to mention you, my dear Jean-Paul, which I think is so relevant for the show, if you allow me to say it, is that in August, 2022, I did a movie with Porsche, the cars, you know, and we filmed all across Europe, and where I was driving my Porsche all across Europe. It was an amazing trip for almost 2 months, and the movie, I don't know when it's going to come out. I hope it's going to come out in a couple of months, maybe. And I think they said next summer, but we'll see. But I stopped at Auschwitz. And for many years, even since I was a teenager, I was like, I was offered with school and friends, they were doing annual trips and all that. And I was like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. And people were like, why? It's your story. I said, keep me away from it. Because somehow in my mind, I was hoping that, you know what, maybe, you know, I didn't want to face the truth, you know, in other words. Or I'm not saying that I was hoping that it did not happen, but I was like, I'd rather not see it. You know, it's like looking at the cell phone of the girl you like, you know, you're afraid you're going to find an emoji or something, you know, that's going to upset you. So best way not to look at it. Yep. But then when I was there in August, I was like, let's go there. And the people of the museum, because it's called a museum now, we had conversations that we'd love to have you if you could sing some Jewish prayers, because it cannot be just any songs, but like Jewish prayers and stuff. I said, sure, I went. And I went there, and it was, of course, a very emotional, very heavy. And then I was like, I was talking to this Catholic guy who was showing me around the place, and I was like, how we let that happen? How all of that was able? And he said to me, he said, well, you know, David, that's why today in Poland, we don't allow a single spit on anyone. We don't allow a single racial slur, a single homophobic slur, anything. The slightest thing is the same thing in Germany. You know, the slightest thing is 5 years in jail. You have that kid who painted in his school who was 16-year-old. He got 5 years in jail just for painting Jew. You know, he was, you know, he was 16-year-old. It was his, he had no prior. He wanted to do a joke. 5 years is heavy. But what the guy was telling me is that we don't allow a single spit, a single insult, because we know, Jean-Paul, that the first spit, the first insult is the first step that leads to Auschwitz. And you cannot tell me that we exaggerate, because that's what happened. Yeah. You know. So when he told me that, I was like, wow, now I understand what activism within its border, of course, let's not get paranoid, but activism, all this stuff means something. And, you know, but yeah, I forgot what was the question.
I don't remember either, but you ended on a good point. So that's a good point. Really.
Yeah.
Well, actually, for those who might not be familiar with the Anne Frank story, we know, you know, a lot of us know the outside, you know, the very periphery of the story. Maybe you could just give us a little bit of background.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people refer to Anne Frank about the diary of Anne Frank. And actually the story is I was going to say more interesting. I'm not sure it's the right word, but it's not even richer, but it's larger than just the diary of Anne Frank. Mm-hmm. It's this musical is really telling the life of Anne Frank, you know, it's when she was in the annex. They were not just, I cannot believe that they were crying every day. You know, I'm sure at some point there must have been tensions. There must have been arguments. She fell in love with Peter, with one guy inside. So the story basically is Otto Frank, who has some money, He sees that they have to wear yellow star and they're going to be deported. So he says, okay, we are going to be the one disappearing. We are going to be the one to be hiding. So he organizes his own hiding, you know, in the annex. And then step by step, he finds out that, okay, his friends, the Van Pels, they're also in the need of to be hidden. So he welcomes them. Then there's another guy, Dr. Pfeiffer, same story. You know, he's been discovered. He needs to be hidden. And you have that woman, Meep, who works for Otto Frank, which a lot of people for a long time accused her for denouncing the Franks to Nazi, but we found out later that it was absolutely not the truth. But she's the one who, she helped actually the Otto the Franks to hide, you know, and she was bringing magazines, food, clothes, and everything. And yeah, and one day, unfortunately, the Nazis have discovered because they've been, they heard about it. And we know actually these days, thanks to artificial intelligence, thanks to a big investigation that was conducted by former FBI agent, they found out the person who actually denounced them, which is really sad. But that person did it to save his life also, you know, because that's what the Nazis wanted, is to dehumanize the Jews, you know, so that they would even kill each other and eat each other if they have to, you know. That's why they use Jews to be the police, quote unquote, police officer in concentration camps, you know, like there are, that they wanted to dehumanize. That was part of their psychological strategies. Look, even our own people turn against us, you know. So then they were, I should say, discovered, and they were taken on the very last train that was going to Auschwitz. On the very last train, they arrived to Auschwitz, and then all the family was killed, died there. You know, there was Anne, I think, and I think Margot also, but I think Anne, who died from typhus, because there were so many microbes there, you know, there were no showers, no, disgusting, you know. So, and that's it. And Otto Frank was the only one. He tried to search for his family. He couldn't find. Back in the days, everybody was going to the Hotel Lutetia in Paris, because that was the meeting. Okay, if you survive a concentration camp, you go to Hotel Lutetia in Paris, because that's where everybody's meeting. You know, there was no Facebook, there was no internet, there was none of that. So he was there, he couldn't find them. And then he decides to go back to the annex, you know, and he finds Meep. And Meep, one day she shows up to the annex and she sees the door of the annex. And that's how she finds out that they were taken away, you know, probably the next morning, they were taken during the night before, you know. And she sees a book on the floor, you know, and say, what that book is? She could have threw it. And she realizes, oh, that's a diary. That's something written by Anne. And when Otto comes back, he sees Meep and he tells her, you know, look, unfortunately, it's over for my family. I'm the only survivor out of 8 people, you know, he's the only one who survived. And yeah, and she gave him that diary. And for, I think for a year or two, he couldn't open it. And then he started to read it, and he understood that it was not just the memory of his daughter, but it was important to have it as a document of that era, you know. And the book was a major bestseller, and he used that money to help people and you know, honor the memory of people. Anyway, so that's a little bit the story. You know, it's a sad story, but it's about humanity. That's why I open this casting to whoever wanted to come, regardless of their religion, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of anything. Because I would say the young Jewish girl is as I would say legit than the grandson of a U.S. veteran who was not Jewish, but who died when he came to free the concentration camps. So this is why this story belongs to a lot of people, for the same reasons that the Martin Luther King is part of the universal story. So it's a story full anyone can be attached to it, because I added also, and of course, Jean-Pierre Adida, the composer, you know, moments when she falls in love with Peter, when they hold each other's hand, when they learn, you know, the innocence, the moments with Margot, when they remember playing the piano. It's, you know, the moments with Otto and Anne when he teaches her French language, which is in the original was English. But I say, if we teach her English in America, no one will, will understand it. So, but it's really a beautiful musical, and there is not a single dry eye in the audience. Like, people really, really people are really, really touched by it, and you have to be careful when you touch that subject, when you touch, you know, when you really go to these moments where they all go to the train, which was not in the original French version, which I added, which they go to Auschwitz, when, you know, that transition, these are tough moments. So you have to be very, very gentle of how you bring it. But I'm very, very proud of the work that is done, you know, really.
Well, congratulations. You know what?
Thank you, my dear Jean-Paul.
These difficult stories are difficult to tell, but they need to be told. Right? This is a story of Jews in hiding, but it's more of a story, it's an overarching story of humanity surviving, yeah, and
absolutely
supporting, and the evils that we can all succumb to.
Yeah, and
we have to protect against that. So,
I mean, I know I was married for 2 years, so I know what you're talking about. I was trying to be light a little bit, you know, because I had tears in my eyes telling you when I was talking about Anne. So I was trying to.
Well, yeah, you know, but that's
really
levity.
True, you know. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, you need a little levity, and you know what, in your show,
yeah,
like you were saying, that she falls in love. They, you know what, the work. You cannot live in total gloom and despair. There are always moments, like when a forest gets raised by fire, there's always the flower that pops up. And and those are the precious moments you have to remember.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what was happening also. And we know it from the diary that they were sometimes laughing and that she was having fun with her sister, that they were still trying to maintain school and learning in books you know, I mean, I went to the Anne Frank Museum, I visited the annex. Boy, that was really small, you know.
Yeah.
That was really, really small, you know. And you were like, wow, 8 people here. And then you start to think, wait, where was the bathroom here? You know, where, how, you know, there was only just a tiny small window. I mean, how much air in the summer, the sun, you know, and you're thinking about all of that. And that's why I will bring to the actors also that they try to make us feel also this thing that we should really, really appreciate the freedom that we have today, because we owe it to these people. We owe it to a lot of all these people who were hiding, who were helped Jews in those days, you know. But also I show it in the movie that is not, the Nazis were not just against the Jews, they were against the people who were disabled, because they wanted to make quote unquote a pure race. They were against the homosexuals, the lesbians, they call it those days, the Tzigan, the, you know, all the, we call it bastard, you know, like mixed of two races,
yeah,
mixed race, bi-race, I forgot how we say, I'm sorry. So that was, you know, the bastard was the name used by the Nazi, just so I am clear. But it's also about a tribute of all these people. And I think we ought to be proud, whoever it is, because of where we are today, you know. But also in the same way, be careful that it cannot happen, even though, you know, when you see what's happening in Ukraine, what is, we're like, wow, this is just around, you know, around the corner, you know. So what can you do?
Well, what we can do is learn more about your show. So how do people, what a terrible segue, but how do people learn more about your show? How do they get the tickets? Is there a social media website?
The tickets are on Telecharge. They can buy the tickets there. You know, you just Google Anne Frank tickets, whatever, in New York. And really, it's the show is really good for all age. And you know, you don't have to be Jewish to come to see the show. You know, it's really also a beautiful in terms of pure, you know, stage work and pure musical theater. It's a beautiful piece of music. Like the sensitivity of my friend Jean-Pierre Dida is really enormous, and really I really connected to that music and all the characters and really the fact that I did it 4 years ago today, I made so much progress. Maybe the fact that I did movies as a director and produce movies, I think, brought me a bigger depth into the character, because the camera is right in front of your face compared to the shows, and I learned a lot. So I'm going into even more depth of the characters, and I have phenomenal artists, you know, and I'm so happy, and even I added extra roles even to the musical, and phenomenal musicians, and it's going to be really a beautiful show, and I guarantee you're going to leave a little bit different from that show, because that show doesn't leave you the way you came in. And that's what I've been trying to do in theater of my life, is that you leave different than when you came in, you know what I mean? Like when you go to see a divorce attorney, you know what I mean? You live very different. Like, I can assure you that, you know, with a zero left in your bank account, you know.
Well, leaving on that note, David, thank you so much for coming on again.
Oh, my dear Jean-Paul, what an honor.
It's always great to have you on the show.
Oh, you're the best. You're the best, my brother. And thank you, really, because I just want to say that you support so many, you know, not just, you know, everybody supports always the big Broadway shows and everything, but I'm really, my scene is really off Broadway, and you support not just in New York, but all around the world, a lot of shows, you know, under the big Broadway budget. And whether it's new musicals, you had me for Scarface, the A Capone, which we're going to do in 2024, by the way.
Really?
Fall 2024. Yeah, yeah. So nice. That will be, you know, there'll be a front row seat just for you. And you always support, and you're always here. And the night when you came to New York at the premiere of the Ten Commandments, sold out, full standing ovation, and you came on stage and said so many kind words about you know, just bringing back as you know, the director of the musical theater radio and founder, you know, bringing back the musical theater life and theatrical life in New York. You gave me this award, the first award, which, you know, the award of the musical theater radio excellence in theater. I forgot the name, but it's something I would never forget. So it stays very proud in my office. So a million thanks to you, my dear Jean-Paul.
Okay, now I have to die first so you can do my eulogy.
No, I hope I go before you. You know, that's all.
we'll figure it out.
You figure it out. But I call you first, I promise.
Okay. All right. Again, thank you, David. And I'm looking forward to coming to see the show in October.
Thank you, my dear friend. Thank you, Jean-Paul. God bless you.
No problem. All right. We were just speaking with David Soreau, the producer and director of Anne Frank, a musical, which is playing at the Actors Temple Theater between October 11th and November 5th. So if you're in New York, check it out. You can always go to our page on the website, Want to See a Musical, where you can look up Anne Frank and find out all the details there as well. Tune in next week as we'll speak with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion, that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Jovanoff, and until next time, I'll see you when I see you.